And then Amari went to Buffalo.
I was going to say, then he ended up violating his parole. Unbelievably.
We went to see Watanejo.
Yeah.
I mean, were but they looking for him that hard?
This is why you couldn't get out all these years.
Was it the late 50s? I mean, hell. He was rehabilitated. He didn't do anything. What the hell are we talking about? Anyway, yeah.
You anything to not talk about this? Or the other thing?
We got Guardians folks here. You want to put the new rule in?
Yeah,
go right on ahead.
So normally what we do in situations like these is we'll say, hey, before you get in on the Browns, you got to say something nice about the Guardians. But before we get to these Guardians calls, you have to say something bad about the Browns. Got to be fair.
It's true. Got to be fair. Oh, God. 20 minutes away. Todd Derry going to join us on the show. You know who's up? Going to be on the table soon. You got a third-round pick for Amari Cooper. You guys know what I'm thinking.
They're not trading him.
Okay.
They're not trading him.
We'll find out how Sunday goes.
No.
All right.
No.
Okay. You sure? You sure?
I mean, how many first-round picks would it take?
Well, how many would you get? You'd at least get one. Can you find me anybody else on the roster who would get you a first-round pick? There's one guy who's off-limits to me, and that's Rodney McLeod.
Right? He's not going anywhere.
He's our leading scorer.
Yes.
He's our only offensive threat, even though he plays defense. And he's our co-host on Tuesdays. Not a chance. Nope. He ain't going nowhere. Everybody else, go ahead. Make your offer. Now, is Detroit going to make that offer for that guy, considering who works in that front office? I don't know. Going to let him take advantage of you? Oh, boy. Now, Brad Holmes is the general manager of that place, not the other guy. 216-474-0092. Who do you blame? Do you blame the Browns in this?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, think
they are the organization. I mean, it's kind of an umbrella over everything. Like, yeah, the Bucs got to stop somewhere,
well,
so it stops
here.
With the Browns.
We're going to be honest. I mean, we this show, huge supporters of Amari Cooper. We have loved Amari Cooper. He's been terrible this year. And he also told people at the start of the year that maybe he didn't really practice. Maybe the work habit wasn't exactly where it used to be. Okay, I mean, those are red flags right there.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that has to do with the quarterback, and I know that's, God, it sounds like I'm letting him off the hook. It shouldn't be about the quarterback. It should be, hey, in a perfect world, you should show up to work every day and try to help the team. He did that last year pretty clearly. When he said the stuff about Flacco last year, I think it was pretty obvious how he felt
faith
about
faith multiplier. Yeah.
He didn't say that about number four.
And
he
guys,
said that about the guy who was off the couch and he had just met for the very first time.
I'll let you guys know. If I was hearing a bunch of great things about the quarterback right now, I would be more than willing to put it on Amari Cooper. He like, there's been plenty of wide receivers who have showed their ass out the door in their previous teams, and he would just be another one. But if we're hearing the things that we're hearing, and we're hearing that there's starting to be a fracture in things there, then it's very, very, very hard. I will hold him accountable for the drops. I will hold him accountable for everything that you just said. He should be held accountable for that. But in the grand scheme of things, where does it start and where does it finish? It's going to start and finish with what you traded for and what you're not getting, which is top quality performance. And again, you can give me all the trades and how they fleece the Bills. The Bills have one opportunity in mind that they're thinking about. They're thinking about making a deep playoff run and hopefully getting past Kansas City and getting to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. We were supposed to have those aspirations. We are 1-5. We are 1-5.
You know, and as and look, Kenny, as wide receiver divas go, and people are starting to tell me, well, he's now been at four different places. Okay, but as diva wide receivers go, I think he has been kind of the least, for somebody as consistent as Amari Cooper has been over time.
Dealt with way worse.
He's been one of the easiest guys for a quarterback to work with over time. I mean, look at, by the way, Buffalo, Diggs. Diggs couldn't handle the success in Buffalo. Like, Buffalo was too good, and you were miserable there. Like, it shows you how hard it is to keep these guys happy. And I have to say, Amari Cooper's been pretty happy in Cleveland. Until he wasn't. Until this year. Well, why do we think that is? Maybe the Van Pelt stuff. Maybe he wasn't happy with the Van Pelt stuff. The fact that they overhauled the offense the way they had to.
Well, who's
and it's interesting
with,
now. We have Ken Dorsey.
Who all is happy
and
with
now
the Van
Buffalo
Pelt stuff?
Has Amari Cooper.
Yeah, who all is happy with the Van Pelt stuff? People keep telling me. They're coming up to me on the street, Tone, and say, we got to fire Ken Dorsey. For what? I don't know what he's really in charge of. So now you just want a pound of flesh, which if you want a pound of flesh, fine. But if you're just firing Ken Dorsey, I don't know exactly what role he has in this. All we know is that He was brought here, maybe even against Kevin's wishes, but that's a totally different conversation that I guarantee we'll probably have. I don't know. It's a day that's going to end in Y soon enough. So he was brought here. I don't know what he controls and what he doesn't. How much of the offense is his? And then there's some people who want Kevin Stefanski to just hand off the play calling to him out of spite. That's not nothing you can do, because if you actually trust yourself to make these decisions, then you're not going to give up what you trust yourself with and give it up to a guy who you don't trust. Because I can't just give up the play calling to a guy who got fired for it in his last place that he was at, and a team that's clearly trying to make the Super Bowl because they fired him and they traded for your wide receiver. 216-474-0092. Dave in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Hey, I heard something yesterday on the afternoon show about Andrew Berry. Nick was talking about Andrew Berry being safe and Kevin Stefanski being safe, and he doesn't think they're just cleaning house. They're just getting rid of a bad apple or whatever.
Well, Nick said it was addition by subtraction.
I think of all the takes.
By the way,
he
Nick,
said what?
Nick was right. I'll give Nick credit, because 2 weeks ago he was talking about trading Amari Cooper, and I'm like, they're not trading Amari Cooper. Nope, Nick was right on that. I just don't think if they think the Browns are going to be a better football team because they traded Amari Cooper.
Well, I agreed with Nick that they trade Amari Cooper. I said he'd be gone definitely by Thanksgiving was the earliest holiday I could think of. I thought he'd be gone by the trade deadline. Stay with us here, Dave. But addition by subtraction, I didn't hear that. I disagree with that, but I'm only hearing from what you said. Go ahead, Dave.
Absolutely, I disagree too. But I'm giving Haslam credit. You know, I think he's probably – I'm hoping he told Barry, hey, you swung for the fences with Deshaun, and unfortunately, your job's on the line, and now it's gone because this guy did not work out for us. So I'm hoping Haslam finally got some cojones and said, hey, I'll give you a good recommendation or whatever. I'm sure you'll find another job, but you're going to help me for messing up my team this last 3 years. And you're going to get rid of players, give me my draft picks back, and you're done at the end of the season regardless. Maybe Stefanski would stay, but Barry, I hope he goes. But I'm hoping this is what Haslam's doing, and he's saying, let's not clean house, but get rid of the bad apples or the ones that maybe we can get something out of. And hopefully next year, you know, it's not that bad of a rebuilding year.
Well, I keep telling Dave, that's you know how it doesn't become that bad of a rebuilding year is if you take a quarterback in the first round, because that's someone people can get behind. And that might seem to be ridiculous and irresponsible, but every team that's looking for a quarterback is desperate for a quarterback. And so that's the only one that they can afford that people can get behind. But I've said that so much already, and I'll continue to say that until the cows come home. Go ahead, Dave.
Will you guys even think about that scenario? I mean, is that a scenario because you guys are the scenario of Haslam saying, hey, Barry, you know, fix my team before you're fired. I'll tell you right now, you're fired.
Well, let me add this to it, Dave. Thank you very much for the call. Like, Lyman and I have been lockstep on this. And people guys, you believe what you want to believe, and ultimately the ownership group is where the buck stops there as well. So you can blame ownership all you want because they're owners, and that's what they're there for. Lyme and I have said this steadfastly over the last 2.5 years now, is that ownership loved Baker Mayfield, and they needed to be sold on this idea. And over the year, because of the broken shoulder, they were more and more sold on the idea. Because Lyme, you knew at around this time, 3 years ago, was it 3 years ago or 4 years ago? No, I lose time. That there was already some, you had some people saying that there was already some people looking around in certain parts of the country about possibilities of replacement. You remember that. This is where I'd be thinking now. Ownership, if ownership had to be sold on, which there's definitely people who are going to stand on the other side and will never know, and there's no reason for them to confirm or disconfirm whether or not, because it ain't going to make them look good and they can't say anything right now because they're in the middle of a season and you have to see this thing through as best you can. But if they had to be sold on this entire idea of going after Deshaun Watson, and they really, really like Baker Mayfield, which I know they did, how do you think they feel right now that every single time they turn on the television, they're seeing their former quarterback looking good in the place that he's playing in now, and that everybody's ripping you for moving on from that quarterback, whether it's right or wrong, whether we're rewriting history or not? Like Dan Orlovsky saying all this stuff, I don't know. That guy moves as well as the wind blows. I don't know. But you got people who are definitely doing revisionist history here. It doesn't matter to you, because for him, he may be thinking, I finally got my quarterback, and I let somebody talk me out of it. And now look where we're at. And then you couldn't bring back Joe Flacco for all the reasons we specified over and over and over again. Even though it's wrong for football reasons, it's all
this
there.
Important.
Because
this
you've
important
made
point.
Such an incredible investment that you have to continue to dig
we
through.
We remember how the love affair in this city with Baker Mayfield. And the owner was part of that love affair.
Yes.
And understandably so. Baker had had these great moments and had seemingly helped rescue the Browns from the depths of despair. And was everywhere, and the fans were loving Baker Mayfield. So Haslam absolutely got caught up in that, right? So what changed? Obviously, the injury to Baker and trying to play through it, but I imagine it took some coaxing from the front office and maybe the coach, and we'll probably start to find out more about that, to get the owner off of Baker. So it all starts there, right?
Yeah.
And if you have your top lieutenants, you have your hierarchy, your front office coming to you and saying, hey, here's what's going on behind the scenes. Here's what's going on in the locker room. He's probably already knew about Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad and the videos. So all this stuff starts happening. And the owner says, fine, convince me. Convince me that we need to move off of him before we decide to move off of him. And they did. And they brought forward that plan of attack. Now it's also convince me to go after that guy. And that had to happen. There's no way. There's no way that the owner signs off on all that unless he is completely talked into it.
Yeah. And he'll never convince me otherwise.
And so what does it mean for those people and their jobs?
Guys, Lyman and I agree on 3% of issues across the board. We agree on this. it's just that simple. They love the guy. And right now the guy that they loved is doing really well, and the guy that they've traded for is not doing very well and again, we still got a few months left in this season. You know who sounds good? Todd Derry. The Derry Brothers Guardians cast, one half of it, at TD Derry KU. Hello, Todd!
At TD Guardians KU, but I still love you, Kenny.
Judas Priest, I messed it up. I messed
Todd, are you annoyed that we get your crying, emotional brother after the big wins and after the losses, we bring you on to face the music?
No, I'll come on win or loss. It doesn't even matter. It's all good by me. But thank you, Anthony. I appreciate it.
Todd is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Todd, this has got to be, like, some people are going to disagree. This has got to be one of the most frustrating things I've ever seen in my life last night, where you leave 11 in scoring position. You had the bases loaded a couple of times. David Fry, the pop out. Like, even to the point where, like, you had Wells behind the plate blocking balls that Bo Naylor just decided he didn't want to go after in game one. I'm like, even that started to get to me last night. I'm going, Judas Priest, like, they're giving you opportunities. Garrett Cole was not great, and you couldn't come through.
I heard Anthony earlier say this, and it's true. They're not that good. The Yankees are not that good. This isn't there's holes in that lineup. That bullpen is not good. Garrett Cole, who's dominated us for years, he couldn't get out of the fifth last night. The Guardians had a million chances to take control of that game. The Yankees were handing it to us, and they just couldn't take advantage. I know Jose Ramirez hit a solo homer in the ninth inning to make from 6-2 to 6-3. As my dad used to say, that was the old Brook Jacoby. You know, down 10-2 in the eighth, he hit the solo homer. It doesn't really matter. I need the Jose Ramirez who comes up with the bases loaded and puts one in the gap. That's what I need. This one frustrated me way more than game one because it was there for the taking. And there were several more decisions that were questionable by the manager. It's going to be really hard to win 4 out of 5, boys.
Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
Well, that's the thing. I got to say, watching their lineup, and I know that, you know, when guys like Stanton, who's, you know, traditionally been better in the playoffs, but, you know, you look at some of the numbers from the regular season, they're getting nothing out of the cleanup spot right now, and their catcher has been terrible. Like, it feels like this team is a shell of, like, the Yankee great teams that we have had great postseason battles with, and yet we're sitting here because we are, you know, kicking the ball around. We can't do any of the fundamental stuff that was a calling card for this team throughout the season. And we haven't even had the chance to be as aggressive on the bases. which is something we saw in the regular season. So that's why I'm trying to say when we're talking 4 out of 5, it's what you have to do the rest of the way. Can some of that stuff materialize when we get back in Cleveland?
Yes. Best home record in the American League. They're more comfortable playing there. I don't know what it is about either old Yankee Stadium or new Yankee Stadium, but it's almost as if they see those pinstripes and they hear that crowd and they just wet themselves. It's the mystique of October baseball in New York is a real thing. And our young guys and some of our veterans as well just have not performed. Listen, there's no bigger Tanner Bibee fan than me, but he gave up. I mean, and I know that Rocchio dropped the ball. He gave up 5 hits and couldn't get out of the second. I had no problem with Cade Smith coming in there. I understood that move. I really did. You have to win that game, and you had to stop the bleeding there. And who would you rather have face Aaron Judge in that spot? That's the other thing. Other than that 2-run homer in the 8th inning, Aaron Judge has been terrible all October. So it's, you know, my brother said this on the pod yesterday. It's the old NBA adage. The series doesn't really start until someone wins on the road. If you can somehow manage to get the series back to, you got to play it one game at a time, obviously. But if you can get it back to 2-2, you know, that's a whole different ball game. And playing at home for the Guardians, where they're more comfortable, the crowds have been great. I've been at all the home playoff games so far. Crowds have been great, and I expect the crowds to be great again this weekend.
Well, I told Lima that's one of the problems with Major League Baseball, not the game, but Major League Baseball, is that people treat Yankee Stadium, unless you play in the division, but I even think to some degree it is, like it feels like an audition for some of these guys. And people get nervous for the audition, and they go to the – I'm like, you don't get that. Like, if you go to AT&T Stadium in Dallas, they're not standing around going, I can't believe I'm standing here in AT&T Stadium. No, you just play the Cowboys. That's what you do. Like, and there's no Boston Garden anymore. Like, maybe there's a little bit with MSG. Maybe, but I'm not sure if that even clicks anymore. Like, damn it, but they go to Yankee Stadium, and because they know it's – once you're a Yankee, you're never going to have to – you're never going to have to – your children and your children's children will never want for anything in life ever again. And it feels like some of these guys, they're in audition mode. And they get nervous for the audition, and they go out there, and they suck up the room. And I don't think that's just a Guardians thing. I think that's a thing with a lot of teams, and that's one of the problems that you have. But I can't sit here and lament about the problems of Major League Baseball right now. I got to try to win a baseball game here coming up in Game 3 here. Going back to the Bibee decision, do you think that this would have long-term effects between Bibee and Vogt, or is this something where it's like, hey, man, you weren't doing that good. They had to pull you. We got to get you ready, hopefully, for a Game 5 or even maybe a Game 4. Like, it's time to clear it and go.
Tanner's a professional. He's a gamer. I don't think this would affect him in any way. He will come out. Yes, does he want to pitch deeper in games? Absolutely he does. I am sure that he understood. In the moment, he was probably like, man, my defense failed me. I don't deserve this. And he was pissed because he's a gamer out there. He wants that ball. But in the end, he's a team guy. It was the right decision at the time, and I don't think it'll have any effect on him, though.
All right, Todd Derry joining us right now. Runners in scoring position, obviously the one that we're all going to remember, a couple actually, Rocchio, which I thought was a great at-bat, and I thought he was going to come through. And then also, you know, David Fry popping that up very first pitch when it looked like we were about to take the wind out of the sails of that entire Yankees establishment. What did you think of those moments, and what can they do to come through?
Well, the David Fry at bat, I will say in the moment, I thought to myself, yes, this is the spot for my guy, Big Game Dave. He hit that 3-run homer off of Brisky in Game 4, right on right. They didn't go to him in a pinch hitting situation, in another game in a similar situation. The problem where that came up was David Fry can't catch anymore, and Ken alluded to this earlier in the show. The fact that he can't catch has completely changed the dynamic of the roster, and that's because you really like have to look up and say, maybe I have to have Bo Naylor, as horrible as Bo Naylor has been, and he's been horrible, has not had a hit this postseason. I got to let him hit here, because if I don't let him hit, then you're looking at 2 to 3 Austin Hedges high leverage at bats, high leverage Hedges, and that's a problem. And it came up Hedges later in the game, came up with the bases loaded. They purposely pitched around Andres to get to him. And obviously that didn't work. David Fry just swung at the first pitch, which I could not understand. I don't understand when a guy can't find the zone, and I know what they'll say. You know what they'll say is, well, you know, he couldn't find the zone, so you're looking for a get-me-over fastball. But that first pitch pop-out was just brutal, just brutal. And the Rocchio at-bat was a great at-bat, and it was a borderline strike pitch. The home plate umpire, again, was all over the place. So it's just the difference between these two teams right now is they are coming through when they need to, and the Guardians are not. And it's kind of a microcosm of what we've seen for this offense all season. I think it's under a microscope right now, but this team usually lays back and has been in waiting to hit three-run homers or whatever to get on the board. It's been like that most of the season, and the irony of it is the team last year couldn't hit homers to save their lives, and now it's seemingly the only way they're scoring. I mean, it's wonderful when they got it back to 3-2, but they had the bases loaded and no one out and scored the two runs on a sac fly and a ground out. Heaven forbid Will Brennan would put one in the gap.
I know it seemed like garbage time, maybe that Jose breaks out of it. Do you think that matters going forward? And what do you think of his issues right now at the plate?
He's clearly pressing. He's clearly frustrated. And I feel for him because he's got to feel like the weight of the world is on his shoulders and he has to deliver each time. It's hard to tell because he is so even keeled all the time. You don't see any sort of, you know, either way, good or bad. He's not, he is the same guy. Hopefully that home run gets him, you know, going a little bit. He did have a couple of loud outs. He hit a couple barrels just right at people so far. It's just, again, I've said it on our pod. I've said it on this show. My brother said it on this show as well. If Jose Ramirez doesn't show up in this series, the Guardians have no chance. No chance. Your superstar has to be a superstar, and he hasn't been. And it's pretty simple.
Do you believe that Todd Derry joining us here on the show, Derry Brothers Guardians Cast, you get it here on the free Odyssey app. Do you believe that Stephen Vogt has been overmatched in both of these series?
I don't think Aaron Boone is doing anything to, you know, make him look bad. In the first series, games 2 and 3, A.J. Hinch managed circles around him, and I do think that Vogt has done some panicky things at times, and I think that he is overmanaging. But it's his first time here. I mean, he's going to learn. Nobody's perfect. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because he got this team that nobody thought would get to the playoffs, let alone the ALCS. I mean, they're here. They're on serve. You win the next two games, we feel a lot better. We're, you know, and it becomes a three-game series. So, for the most part, I haven't loved the way he's managed, no. But he's got time to right the ship and do a better job. But I think he gets a little – he's getting a little panicky with some of his moves, and then he's doing things one way and then going against what he's been doing. Like, you know, you could have sent up, for example, John Kenzie Noel, who has more power, you know, in that bases loaded, you know, in one of the bases loaded spots. You know what I'm saying? Like there's just moves that he's making that he would have made earlier in the year that he's not making now. So I just think that this is his first time and he's a little panicky there, but he's still a great leader of men. He's still got the Guardians to where they are, and I do believe in him. I'll tell you what, a lot of people bash the way Tito managed in the playoffs the last few times around since 2016. So, you know, as I said to you guys before, and I'll say it again, if these moves work, he's a genius. If they don't, he's an idiot.
All right, set us up for the rest of the series quickly. It's Boyd, right, going tomorrow back in Cleveland, and then what it looks like for Game 4 and hopefully Game 5.
I mean, here, you got Matt Boyd against Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt is not great, okay? Luis Gil against whoever goes in Game 4, whether it's Bybee coming back on short rest because he only threw the 39 pitches, or they decide to go to Gavin Williams. I do think there is, number one, you're at home. Number two, you have the advantage in pitching. The bullpen is better. You do have better starting options than the Yankees do here. So I do think that you just got to go game by game. I am I'm not saying the series is over. I'm not. It is going to be very hard to win 4 out of 5, but getting back into Progressive Field, getting these guys at ease. And then the other thing is, I do some tweaks to the lineup. I do love that Rocchio comes up right before Kwan. I'd think maybe you go Rocchio in the 2-hole. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. You're really, you know, between the Fryan Manzardo spot, move that down to 7 and maybe, you know, lengthen the order a little bit. The problem still remains. You've got to get something from the catching position in right field that are 2 gigantic black holes and automatic outs.
Todd, we thank you very much for the time. Follow him on Twitter at TDGuardiansKU. That's the real one. Todd, we'll talk to you hopefully after a win here soon.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Benny, what do we do?
Fixing life.
My life.
All right, so unfortunately, the 2 losses in New York have some people rethinking their playoff plans for buying tickets. Now, as always, this show is on Market Watch above and beyond anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be on it. We have insiders.
Attention.
We have people that are looking into the market.
My mission is simple, to make you money. I'm here to level the playing field for all investors. There's always a bull market somewhere, and I promise to help you find it. Mad Money starts now.
So the tickets for Game 3, they kind of plummeted. Right, if you've been watching this, it's game to game. It's the playoffs. It's kind of how it works. Right now, get-in price that I have dialed up is in the neighborhood of 110 to 149.
That's before fees?
Right, before
fees. I've got 140-ish with the fees included.
So, yeah. And again, I'm looking at multiple sites here, doing our best to make sure to provide a service for those in Northeast Ohio. With that said, there was one individual involved with the show, and I think we all know who that individual is, who is looking at buying tickets for him and his family. I'll tell you, I think you were a good luck charm in the ALDS, Owen, but now it's ALCS. Yeah, but you were at the one that mattered.
Yeah, I was at the one that mattered, and I didn't take any of my kids. But I want to take my kids, and I want to take them on Friday. Friday's what lines up best for us on the schedule. It's an 8 o'clock game.
Yeah.
We have football the next day, but it's not until 5 o'clock at night. So
you found the opening.
That's like where everything lines up for us, right? And I know I'm going to spend more than I've ever spent to go to a sporting event. And, you know, I've contemplated, and right now what it is in between is, do I go to this or do I go when the Chiefs come in for the Browns in December?
Definitely going to see a win.
Yeah. Well, one of them I feel like Mitch, because then I win either way, right? But
well, here's the deal, though.
Don't make me sick.
Yeah, here's the deal with this. I think a lot of people are going to be in the same boat, that if the Guardians, you hate to do this, but it's your money, so you're managing your money, you're trying to figure it out. If the Guardians lose, right, if they lose the Boyd game tomorrow,
right,
are you going to go with a potential Yankees celebration?
Funeral?
It's a funeral. You're down 3 games and now the series is
but
over.
But I'm going to be
series
able to
is
get
over,
in
right?
for...
But the prices go down.
And one son we've taken to a playoff game. The other one we haven't that I want to take that is available to go. You know, when I'm looking at my starting 6 roster, I've got 2 kids available on Friday. And I really want to take him too because he hasn't been able to go to one yet. But do I take him to the one where it's like, yeah, we got in for an affordable for us price, but
so I did this way back in the day.
Potentially,
or
do I just buy them now? Do I buy them now? And
can I share a story with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I told you this morning. So I have an opportunity to take Axel to Game 5. He ain't listening right now, so I can say it.
You better hope none of his friends are either.
That's the whole. Well, hey, shut up, boys! Don't you tell him.
Hey, if you say anything at practice today, you're running an extra mile.
If there's a Game 5, and it's like, well, if there's a Game 5, but even if it were a clinching scenario, it's like, okay, so you saw the Yankees clinch. You'll get used to it. I did. Okay. I've never been to a postseason event at all. I didn't go to any Cavs games. I always watched them at home. I did not go to the Browns playoff games on the road, and I've never been to a postseason Indians or Guardians game. So this is our first opportunity. I say go. Owen, go. If I get the chance to go, like if they win on Thursday or Friday, I'm going. We're going.
I just have this feeling they're going to win on Thursday, and that's going to shoot the market back up.
Well, I mean, that's
buy now. Yeah. When do I buy? Tell me.
Well, if they lose on Thursday, it also might shoot the market back up because you might get Yankees fans in there.
See, I don't know
that Yankees fans care about.
Well, they'd be
coming.
The Yankee fans
local
here.
Ones.
It would be the ones that live
well,
here.
It's the Rochester
guys
Yankees.
Like Mitch. He'll buy a ticket. Yeah. Do you want Mitch to be able to buy a ticket, or do you want to buy a ticket?
Stone silence to go over for that.
There you go.
So I in 2007,
out there looking like Dom
Zimmer.
The first time
LeBron went to the finals, I got a chance to go to an NBA Finals
right.
game. It was the closeout. You know, it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the sweep, yeah.
And I've seen closeouts. I've seen Kevin Durant celebrating in Cleveland. It's never fun, but the flip side is you get to go to an ALCS game, or in my case, an NBA Finals
right.
game. And you just know in your lifetime how many opportunities you're going
to
get, or your kids,
I have
better
to do
yet.
It.
I think you got to get. And
you got to go.
The reality is it's only going to get more expensive.
Yep.
So I think if you were even thinking about it,
I'm trying to value shop. We're value shoppers in my house.
Well, I don't blame you for looking for a deal, but you got to do it. You got to do it if you can, if you could swing it, which I think you can. I mean, you got to be able to do it. So just go ahead. Bobby says, I mean, you'll be able to go to both the ALCS on Friday as well as the Browns in Kansas City in December. We all know that the Browns tickets are going to be about $350 that day by that time. The parking for the Browns is going to be double the cost. Right now, what's the get-in price for Sunday? $65?
Yeah.
This is for Browns, yeah.
Yeah, keep an eye on that market.
Browns.
That's going to drop.
I saw it at around 60.
Now, wait a minute. What does
it's supposed to be beautiful Sunday.
It's true.
Yeah, that was 100 before the, or 115, I believe, Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm. What does Nick Chubb do to the market?
I don't know. It doesn't look like it's having that much of an impact yet. Plus, that's the other thing. It is going to be gorgeous Sunday. I texted a buddy of ours, Barry, at a local golf course.
Oh.
He said people.
Oh, that's cart path only.
He said people are looking at that weather going, man, what a gorgeous day to be playing fall golf on Sunday.
Must be nice. Congratulations on all your success. I look forward to 15 years when I'm able to do it myself.
70 and sunny, I think I saw.
70 and sunny.
Yeah.
Lordy almighty. Looks like hell out there today. All right. Well, go. Okay. Go to the game.
All right.
Figure it out and take him to the game.
Can borrow your card.
My card?
Yeah.
My credit card?
Let me hold on to that.
Hell no, brother. Hell no.
The fees. That's the fees. That's
where they
fees.
Get you. That's where they get you.